At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Baseball Insiders. I am Adam Weiner, joined as always by FanSided's MLB insider Robert Murray. A big weekend at Dodger Stadium for one team, but the New York Yankees did salvage and did not get swept. But obviously, there's some distance there. Plus, the Kansas City Royals make the call that all Royals fans wanted to hear, but maybe even sooner than they wanted to hear it. And what is taking the Red Sox so long to make the same call to a different guy, but at the same level? I mean, honestly, what the hell? Plus, the Milwaukee Brewers, a team Robert definitely believes in, woke up over the weekend and gave a scare to the Philadelphia Phillies. Important to talk about whatever happened there and led to those couple of blowouts. The latest on Corbin Burnes and all your questions. If you've got them, please join us in the comments. Join us in the Discord. We would love to hear from you, and here to break it all down is FanSided's MLB insider Robert Murray. Robert, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It feels good to be here. It's a glorious Monday afternoon. Got lots to talk about with baseball. Have a piece that is going to be running here on FanSided in a little bit, discussing four names that I expect to be dropped or mentioned in trade rumors. So that shall be fun. So maybe we can talk about that on the show here toward the end, because I don't know when it's exactly going to get posted. But anyways, I'm here to talk baseball now. It's good to be here. Adam Weinrib, Jack Caglione is here, so that is always very exciting. How are you doing? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. I'm good. Not doing as well as Jack Caglione, though. And again, I don't know where that I'm glad that somebody pronounced his name first before I could do it. Surprised it's not Caglione, but it's not. And you're going to all have to get used to it because he's going to hit a whole bunch of meaty home runs down the stretch for the Kansas City Royals, a team that is in the wild card race, but is decidedly lacking offense. We see your questions coming in. We appreciate it. I even see Zanola here. I don't know what we did to deserve that, but if you're here, that means it's either a Monday or a Wednesday at 3:30 or 1 o'clock Eastern. We're going to be doing Monday and Wednesday shows this week. No Friday show as we get closer to the trade deadline. We're going to build that back into the schedule, but we'll help you out. If you're in the Discord, you get a private Q&A with Robert at 3 o'clock Eastern on Thursday. Also got the prospect show with Eric Cole at noon tomorrow. Going to be talking pre-draft stuff, prospects you can watch in college ball this week, and some more insight on Jack Cags, of course. Eric just went away for the week and said they're probably going to promote Jack Cags before I get back. And I was like, no, they're not. It's a very funny joke. And then they did, but he's back now. So we'll be here seeing a couple of comments that we definitely have to address as well about some rumors that have been spreading already to begin the week. But we might as well begin, if you're not subscribed to the Moonshot, you should. That's our weekly email newsletter where Robert and the rest of the FanSided MLB team break down all the biggest stories, the big leagues with humor, insight, behind the scenes info. You can get all that and more on the Baseball Insiders feed on fansided.com. That's fansided.com/baseball-insiders. For that column Robert mentioned, some weird stuff for me and Eric's corresponding prospect column, plenty more from the MLB staff writer team as well. Let's just get into Jack, because I'm surprised that the Royals pressed this button, but also what more did this man have to prove after like a handful of days at AAA with the Storm Chasers? I got like three emails from the Storm Chasers PR team letting me know they had availability with Jack, because I think they wanted to nail this, because I think they knew he was going to be around for like a week and a half. So they were like, yeah, if you miss him this first time, you're not getting him back. And now he is with the Kansas City Royals. June 2nd, probably not enough time to make serious noise in the Rookie of the Year race, but I've been surprised before. I thought Nick Kurtz was going to show off a little bit more power immediately after being called up. It took him a little bit of time to get into that rhythm. Robert, how do you feel about how long it'll take Jack to get into the same rhythm, and how this affects the AL Central and the wild card races?
The Royals, they're not going to want to put too much on his plate early on, but Caglione is every bit of a superstar looking player. We're talking about a guy who, if it all clicks, has as much home run power as anyone in baseball, maybe not named like Aaron Judge. Like, he has got that kind of ability. And the Royals were very aggressive in promoting him, obviously moved him from Double A to Triple A and now into the majors right away. And it was funny, like early yesterday morning, I was talking about it with somebody who would know like when exactly they expected him to get promoted. And he said very confidently that he expected it to be before Roman Anthony. And then I asked him when exactly that could be, and he never responded. And then all of a sudden the news broke and he sent me the eyeball emoji. And my immediate response was, why couldn't you give me that breaking news? Cause that's a huge scoop. But this is the beginning of a really important era for the Royals here. And they've spent in free agency, they've got Bobby Witt Jr. and his just insane ability signed long-term. And now they got Caglione, and they're only going to get better. To me, they're a very serious threat in that division. They're a very serious threat in the American League in general. Maybe this season, definitely long-term, they're going to be very good. So this is a big day for the Royals, and he's on the verge of his debut. I think it's against the Yankees, if I'm remembering that correctly. Is that right?
I think his first home series
at the home series. Hoffman,
will be against the Yankees next week. The Yankees have a fun little weird mini juggernaut of Guardians starting tomorrow at Yankee Stadium, followed by the Red Sox and the Bronx. Again, the Yankees and Red Sox just don't play each other until June at this point. I don't know who did that. It was like a COVID thing where I think they honestly were like, if April 2021 gets canceled, we don't want to lose any Yankees Red Sox. Now that's just the way it goes, and it sucks for everybody. But then the Yankees go to KC, and then they go to Fenway after that. Jack, if he debuts in his first Royals game, it will be at Cardinals, which is another pretty big one between two teams making noise, regional rivals. Pretty fun. I'm excited for that.
No, I'm excited too. I'm really excited to see what he looks like in the majors here. And he is going to be one of a few guys that end up debuting this season who I am extremely high on. I mean, we've mentioned him on the previous podcast before, but some guy named Roman Anthony is a very intriguing name. He's under the radar for a lot of people. I don't think many people know about him.
Probably don't know him.
I cannot believe he's not in the majors already. I've said that a bunch. I'll say it again. He belongs in the majors. And if it's probably a case of the Royals, or not the Royals, but the Red Sox waiting for the Super 2 deadline, which is kind of annoying. But we got to call it like we see it at this point. But and then you also have Jacob Mizorowski with the Milwaukee Brewers, who I've been very high on in recent years, and I pushed for him to get called up by the Brewers last year. I saw Chris Roerdink in the comments, who's a friend of mine actually from Wisconsin. So hello, Chris. Mentioned him in the comments before. And then Bubba Chandler, I also don't know why he's not in the majors. Well, I think we can also kind of read in between the lines there of why. Same with Mizorowski and Chandler, probably a Super 2 deadline kind of a deal. Mm-hmm. But I'd expect them both in the majors before too long. And those will be very exciting eras of baseball for all those teams, and honestly just for baseball fans in general.
Yeah, Roman Anthony, I thought Super 2 is a great shout, because I could not for the life of me figure out why they weren't doing it today. Home series against the Angels, you get him a home Fenway debut, then he goes to the Yankee Stadium next week. That, like, you don't want to debut him there, but you definitely want to use him against the Yankees. So we'll see. I mean, they're doing ridiculous videos now where they're sneaking Roman Anthony out of the Woo Sox stadium like Taylor Swift in a garbage bag in a crate or whatever. Like,
crazy.
I don't really know why you need, there were like 10 fans outside waiting for him too. It wasn't like it was overwhelming. And also, was it supposed to be a great surprise that he was leaving the stadium? That's where he plays and works, and it's not where he lives. So it's not like, oh my God, Roman Anthony had to go home. Like, we have to cover up this incredible secret. So yeah, don't understand that at all. But we'll maybe see him soon. I mean, you think they'd want to debut him at home, right? Maybe next week's Yankee series.
Yeah, but that's putting them immediately in the spotlight. And that's they're being very mindful of not putting too much pressure on him right away, especially with the team struggling. They don't want him to be the savior. We've seen Craig Breslow say that publicly, and I've heard the same thing privately mentioned as well. He belongs in the majors. But the another part of this equation too, and I mean, I'm gonna eventually have to talk about it because it got reported today. But they don't. They have an outfield logjam there in Boston. And I thought the obvious move there would be to move Rafaela into the infield in a super utility role. But Jaron Duran has been mentioned in trade rumors once again. He is a player of interest for the Padres. He was a player of interest for them last year, as I believe we mentioned on this program first last year. Yep. And Dennis Lynn of The Athletic mentioned it once again today. And he's a player that the Padres do indeed like. They have liked him for a while. He would solve their outfield problems for sure. I don't believe anything is necessarily imminent. But that being said, like, one thing that I've always learned when it comes to AJ Preller, if there's a player that he really, really, really likes, more often than not, he'll go out and get him. That being said, the price for Duran is probably going to be very high. It's less than a year removed from winning the All-Star Game MVP. Posted some very good numbers last year. His numbers this year are not on the same level, but they're still pretty good. So we'll see. But Dennis made a good point when he reported that as well, is that do the Padres have enough to get Duran and then also upgrade other parts of the roster as well? That part I'm not exactly sure of, but Preller, this is Preller season. So I'm very excited to see what he's got cooking. And surely Duran is one of many names that the team is interested in.
But it's interesting that the ball has gotten rolling this early. And I'm glad you shouted that out, because that was something I was going to highlight later in the show to talk about. But if you are a longtime Baseball Insiders viewer, you already know the legitimacy of that interest, because like you said, we talked about that pre-last year. It's been a long time connection. And maybe now that the Red Sox have this logjam hitting a boiling point, they're going to have to do something about it. Speaking of boiling points, the Yankees went into Dodger Stadium and maybe thought they were going to do some avenging for their World Series loss. And if you consider salvaging the finale behind Ryan Yarbrough, vengeance, then I guess they did that. And hey, it's nice they didn't get swept. But what else did they do in this series? Well, they blew a 5-2 lead with their ace on the mound in the opener. And then their best rookie starter lost 18-2 on Saturday, a game that ended with Kike Hernandez wearing a helmet, pitching on the mound, making a mockery of modern baseball. Not his fault, but that's what happens when you get blown the hell out by the defending world champs. So when I was putting this together, this outline, I was like, well, we're going to be talking about a sweep because there's no way the Yankees are winning this finale. And good for them. They beat Yoshinobu Yamamoto. But the Dodgers look, I smelled a little bit of blood in the water entering the weekend, like Tony Gonsolin, Landon Knack, really? Yankees have a chance to take this series on the road, maybe do some damage. The Yankees won the only game I didn't think they would win, and the Dodgers showed no reason why they shouldn't be current World Series favorites, even without Sasaki, Snell, and Glasnow, and Mookie Betts, who didn't even play this weekend. Thoughts on what you saw in the maybe showcase series of the year so far?
I saw there's three big takeaways that I had here. One that I'll start with the obvious here. Judge against Otani was as good as we could have hoped for. Obviously I wish I think it was the middle game. I wish that was far more competitive. But that being said, like, Judge starts with a home run, then Otani hits a home run. There's home runs all across the board there. Those two are by far and away, in my opinion, the best players in the game, which that's not really an opinion. That's kind of like a pretty obvious statement, considering that they've won so many MVPs between the two of them. And then I think you're right in the fact that the Dodgers are absolutely the favorites to win, like the MVP, or not the MVP, but the World Series. Like, they are just loaded from top to bottom. Obviously they have plenty of injuries at this point, but they've been able to overcome them, and they're going to be aggressive at the deadline. So I would absolutely imagine they're going to be totally fine. I think they're just by far and away. Sorry, I got notifications here, got texts. So people are already reading my story, so that's fun. Yeah. What was the third? Oh, the three is the Yankees is resilience. And this is the big point that I wanted to make. After those first two games, like, it was going to be pretty easy for that team to be deflated. But they ended up overcoming it. And especially a guy like Ryan Yarbrough. He was a guy that early on in the season was drawing a lot of ire among that fan base. And honestly, rightfully so. He was not performing well at all. And since going to the rotation, he's been just a real revelation for them. And I cannot recall, like, his signing happened right before opening day, and that was about as savvy of a move as it gets. And I'm wondering why exactly the Blue Jays did not keep Yarbrough, because when they signed him, it was basically like, it felt like a guarantee that he was going to be on the major league roster. But yet he still, I don't think he was guaranteed a spot. Come the end of spring training, he opted out and then signed a major league deal with the Yankees, and he's performed really well there. So that was a great move by the Yankees, who have gotten some under the radar contributions this year, but also last year, Luke Weaver kind of really emerged out of the scene for them. And I remember when I broke that signing, when he returned to the Yankees and got kind of like laughed at, being like, oh, the Yankees are bargain bin shopping again. Yep. But he's been just awesome for them. So that was a really smart move by the Yankees front office, and Yarbrough has really paid off there.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Agreed, and he just keeps doing it. And they pushed him to 93 pitches yesterday, gets through 6, and he needed to, because, you know, the Yankees bullpen was a little bit light, and it got even lighter because Weaver got hurt towards the end of that game. We'll see if he's able to return and avoid an IL stint. But as for this extremely rude comment, who had the worst weekend, the Knicks or Yankees? One of those teams got eliminated from the playoffs, and one of them beat your team's butt on national television. So who had a worse weekend? I believe we know the answer to that. Not the resilient New York Yankees and Ryan Yarbrough.
No. I wish you had Adam listed. that's a pretty rough week. I'm sorry, Adam.
I tell you what.
That was mean.
Not my favorite Saturday night of all time, to be honest with you. As somebody who went to the watch party at Madison Square Garden and was just taking out my phone and going, oh, 14-1? Oh, okay. That's a normal baseball score for sure. But a little Sunday night redemption. We'll see if the Knicks can make moves. And good luck to the NBA on the worst rated NBA finals in the history of the league. Going back to when the finals was tape delayed and it was like the Washington Bullets and Sonics. No one is watching Pacers Thunder. Thunder in 5. But anyway, on to more
Thunder in 6. I'm calling it right now. I think it's actually going to be a good series. I think the Pacers are not getting enough credit. The fact that the Thunder are -750 favorites is crazy to me.
Yeah,
here we were talking about sports betting on the show, but I can't believe that one. That's kind of crazy to look at that.
Yeah, that is probably a little hefty, but I have faith in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And I guess I have faith in the Brewers now, because I didn't know what we were going to be talking about. Philly Brewers seemed like a fun series. It ended up being total domination and was capped by, again, you talk about the Yankees being resilient in the third game of the series. The exact opposite in the third game here, where Jake Bowers comes in, gets another clutch hit, demoralizes Philly even further. Yelich checks out after the hit by pitch, but he's fine. Rhys Hoskins torches his old team. Jesus Luzardo falls like 40 spots down the ERA leaderboard. Is that the beginning of the statement turnaround for the Brewers that you have long been anticipating?
I think it's the beginning, especially if Yelich's injury is not serious. Like, I don't think it is, but They cannot afford to lose Yelich because he's been just absolutely on fire for them. And he absolutely looks like the player that they were hoping that he'd become right before opening day. And that team is in a really good spot. Like, their offense had been struggling, but they got off to just a ridiculous start there against the Phillies, especially against Jesus Luzardo, where his ERA just absolutely bloomed throughout that. What was it, like a 3-inning appearance, if not a little bit more than that? But the Brewers look like they are starting to wake up. They look like the team that I thought and a lot of other people in baseball thought would be, or thought they would be this season. And if their offense is heating up, then they have just a lot of pitching depth as well. Quintana's coming back. Brandon Woodruff should return in the not so distant future, although that one's kind of been like a moving target for them. And that could be subject to change. So I don't want to give like a definitive date, but mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be too long until he's back. And it makes them a really intriguing team come the trade deadline. And I mentioned it in that story, which did indeed post during the show today. Yes. And I mentioned Freddie Peralta in this story. And I want to get ahead of it because I know the aggregators are going to have a real fun time with that. I am not saying the Brewers are going to be shopping Freddie Peralta. I am not saying that one bit. But if you look at their history, they moved Josh Hader when he had a year and a half remaining on his deal. They moved Devin Williams and Corbin Burns when they had one year remaining on their contract. Where exactly does Freddie Peralta stand? He's got this year, and then he's also got an $8 million club option for next season, which will surely be picked up. This could be the time where the Brewers, if they don't think that they can keep him long-term because he's going to be expensive, they could consider doing something like that. And there's danger in doing it because we saw what happened when they moved Josh Hader in 2022. That clubhouse is really upset and their season cratered shortly thereafter. When they ended up moving Burns, they did so in the offseason. They did the same thing with Devin Williams. So like, there's precedent for them doing this. My guess, and this is, I feel pretty confident that this is what they'll end up doing, is they hold on to Peralta throughout this season and then entertain the possibility in the offseason. So we'll see ultimately what happens. Maybe there's a team that blows the Brewers away with an offer that they can't refuse. That's always possible, but I would expect to see him mentioned in trade rumors over the next couple of months, especially considering their history.
To note your other, for those who have not read the column yet, you should go over there, but not now because there's a podcast happening at this moment in time, but it's Duran, of course, who we addressed, Freddie Peralta. And I see some folks in the comments who have read the piece because they're bringing up some other names, Ryan McMahon of the Rockies, if this isn't the year, then when is the year, even though they may have missed their prime window to do so, like you noted, and Kyle Stowers, who traded from the Orioles to the Marlins last year, maybe going to be the Marlins All-Star Game representative this year, but they'd be behooved to move him at his peak value. And I know Peter Bendix is licking his chops thinking about doing that same thing. Any destinations you foresee for either of those two guys, or do you expect both of those players to be on the move?
McMahon, that's tricky because he's a favorite of the owner there in Colorado, and there's no real guarantees that he is going to be moved. And I still can't believe they didn't move him last year, and they really just signaled the teams that he was not going to be traded. But maybe a team like the Cubs could make some sense there. As far as Stowers goes, like, I would imagine that one's pretty unlikely that he's going to be moved as well. He is not even arbitration eligible yet. He's still in the pre-arb phase of his contract. He's making around $750K this year. And to me, if the Marlins are going to listen to any inquiries there, the asking price has to be just enormous. So my guess is that it's probably unlikely that he's moved. But I see exactly what Andrew Lee says, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree. Like, I think the Padres would make some sense there. That being said, though, I don't know if they have the necessary pieces in place to get him and also do what else they want to do on the roster there as well. So that could be a tough one to facilitate for AJ Preller. I mean, if there's any executive who can pull it off, it's Preller, but I don't think that's going to end up being, I just don't think he's going to end up being moved.
But you got to ask if you are a team who is watching the Miami Marlins, because they never seem to understand their own timeline. So I guess your hope is that you know, you understand it better than they do. You can convince them to do something that they don't really want to. But great insight there. And if anybody has not read the column, you can listen to us if you want. You don't have to look at us. You can go read the column if you want. But make sure to check that out on fansided.com if you have not. One final thing I wanted to touch on, and we can get to a couple additional questions, just because the Corbin Burns thing is sort of hanging over all of this deadline chatter, and we don't have much to go off of other than some confusing, conflicting reports where Burns was obviously caught saying, you know, I'm done on the mound. Lip readers saw plenty of negativity as he left with that elbow injury. And then Bob Nightingale said there was reason for optimism to believe that they'd avoided something serious. But either way, this might, we might be at the point with the Diamondbacks, who everybody knows I love the Diamondbacks, but we have to seriously evaluate their potential as a seller as much as we have to evaluate their potential as a buyer, especially given the crowded NL wildcard picture and the teams at the top of that division who are all insane. That gives maybe the Yankees some renewed hope about Eugenio Suarez. You know, there are some pieces there and some really needy teams who will enjoy talking to the Diamondbacks about Merrill Kelly, about their bullpen, but Ryan Nelson. But, you know, any thoughts on Burns or just the Diamondbacks in general, how you're feeling about their outlook heading towards the trade deadline?
I don't know if you guys could hear it in the background, but Cooper was snoring up a storm there. No. So shout out to Cooper. But going to the Diamondbacks here, the Corbin Burns situation is less than ideal. We don't know any updates here at all. I don't know anything about optimism. All I can tell you is that the fact that he appeared to say that his elbow was dead, it's not good. That's a really not a good thing. So I'm going to wait for the results to come in before really sharing an opinion there. But that'd be a really unfortunate injury there overall for the Diamondbacks, who paid a premium for him this offseason. He really wanted to be there. And I really hope it's not as serious as it looked. But if that injury is actually serious, then that would really change things here for the Diamondbacks, and it's not looking good, especially after that series against the Nationals. I remember I was at a bar here in Arizona. I was watching the playoff basketball game, and to the right, I watched the first pitch of that Diamondbacks game, and then it felt like I blinked and I looked over and it was 10-0 still in the first inning. And I'm just like, wait, what? I thought it was a typo. I looked on Twitter, and John Gambadero, who's a radio host out here in Arizona, shared all the details of that game and just how bad that start was. And not good. But that Burns injury would really put a damper on the things for the Diamondbacks, which are not trending in a good direction at all right now. And it could open them up to some really interesting trade possibilities there. So I don't know exactly what they'll consider at this point. I don't even know if that organization knows at that point or at this point either. But the big talking point here in Arizona has been the status of Torrey Lovello's job. If I'm the Diamondbacks, I don't fire Lovello. You have a really good leader here, or leadership group here, in Mike Hazen and Lovello. And moving on from Lovello now would seem like a real panic move. So that's not something I would do. I hope the Diamondbacks don't do it, because I think those two work really well together and they're like really close friends as well. So that'd be just a really tough one overall. But my guess is they don't move on, but if things continue to get worse, then maybe that conversation starts to have some more validity.
And that is a superstar manager who would be available. And you'd have to think that with his and Hazen's personal history, it would be surprising to see them move on so quickly after that 2023 run, but anything is possible. We will keep that in mind as the year goes on.
And one more thing I want to say about this is, like, this feels like a classic case of, if let's say, like, you don't know, or let's say they do move on from him, that to me would ultimately end up signaling in the future to both the organization and the fan base, you don't know what you have until it's gone. And Lovello is awesome. He's a great manager. He's one of the most respected guys in the game. And if he ever did become a free agent, he would get scooped up so fast. He would honestly, like, he could be on his flight home and he could get a phone call that would divert him to go visit whatever, or just sign a contract with whoever. Like, he's that respected. He's that good of a manager. So they should not fire him at all.
Agreed. But I did think when you're talking about Lavolo, I'm thinking about the Red Sox and I'm thinking about Cora. So the comments read my mind. Also want to note that while Cooper was sleeping, if anybody's looking for a Biscuit update, Biscuit ate a cork coaster yesterday, a full coaster made of cork. So he's doing well, but Biscuit, this is a message to you, buddy. That's baby stuff. We don't do that anymore. You're almost a two-year-old boy. We don't eat coasters.
Zanola still does that, and he's what, like probably 13 at this point. So
yeah. Well, again, yeah. Zanola, that's baby stuff. Stop eating cork coasters. And I'll give you the. I know it passes, right? Like all things must pass. So you know, technically, if you did it already, you're gonna be fine. But just don't do it. It'd be a bad idea. Yeah, Biscuit does need to seek help. I fully agree. He's a growing boy and he should be eating food instead of whatever this was, but I appreciate your no need for concern. The boy is doing fantastic, but yeah, bad idea, buddy. Dumb stuff. Anything else in your notebook other than medical advice for Biscuit?
No, I have no medical advice for Biscuit, so who I hope is okay. But no, everything that was in my notebook was shared in that story, so hopefully you go check it out. Again, those do not mean, or like that story does not mean those guys are going to get traded. That only means that I think they're going to be mentioned in trade rumors. So I would expect them to get plenty of talk, but I would expect most, if not all, of those guys to just stay in place.
All right. Well, we appreciate everybody tuning in, and the column dropped at the perfect time. We will see everybody right back here Wednesday at 1 o'clock Eastern to talk about the latest in the rumor mill, to answer your questions, and hopefully we get some movement, because we had a fun weekend of baseball action, but it's time to take that off the field and onto the transaction page. We got plenty to talk about. Fansided.com/baseball-insiders for the written content. The moonshot is there. You should subscribe to it. Get it straight to your inbox. Join the Discord if you have not. There's some fun banter going on there at all times, as well as you ask us questions in the All-Star channel. You get priority in this chat. You also get private Q&A's with Robert in the Rumor Mill channel. He's going to be doing another one of those on Thursday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern. Robert Murray, should we come back here on Wednesday and do it all over again?
I guess we should do that. Yeah, let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Up to you, because if you're not going to come, I'm obviously also not going to be here. But your call, I do think it's a good idea. We should probably get on it.
No, let's make it happen. And hopefully Zanola doesn't show up again, because he's a tubby.
As we get closer to the deadline, I fear we will be seeing him more often. But either way, anyone is welcome in the comments of the Baseball Insiders. Even if you ask me who had a worse weekend between two of my teams, the kind of question that usually gets commenters kicked out, but not today. Feeling generous, you can come with whatever energy you want in the comments. As we get closer to the trade deadline, I just get more and more generous. So for Robert Murray, I'm Adam Wander. Take care, everybody. We'll catch you right back here on Wednesday.
That we will. Thank you, everybody.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money
at At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.